Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. You know, sometimes we can get a little bit bogged down, I suppose, if we look at the headlines and so forth. There's some news out there that's pretty bad, and particularly at this time, negative stories tend to dominate the headlines, and it is important to pay attention to what's happening. Of course, thetrumpet.com does that, and many of the shows on this radio station, including the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, the Key of David program, and the Trumpet Hour program, really do look at the headlines, what's going on, what's happening, and gives you God's perspective on those headlines. So it's important to pay attention to those. But also, in addition to that, we need to pay attention to the great news that is coming, and it's coming very quickly. And of course, those programs focus on that as well. But today, on this program, I wanted to specifically focus on the great times that are ahead. There are great times ahead, and people are very much hopeful for that. People want to see great times. Everybody wants success and joy and health and prosperity, and those times are coming, and we do have to keep that in mind, even though, again, there are negative things that are happening in this world, and they're quite severe. There's great news beyond that. God is really going to change this earth. It's going to be different than what we see today. It's going to be completely changed. God's going to create a utopia on this earth after the return of Jesus Christ. And the return of Jesus Christ is not a fantasy or just sort of a nice feeling to have or a nice thought or idea to muse about occasionally. It's reality. It's going to happen. And it's going to change things dramatically on this earth. Very specifically, there are some very specific ways that God is going to change this earth. And God wants people to be part of that, of course. He wants people to be part of those changes. Today, let's look at some specifics of how God will create a utopia on this earth after the return of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some specifics today, and this comes right out of your Bible. One of the things that God is going to change is the language that people speak. The language. The correspondence course, which is free at thetrumpet.com, the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course is the full title, and please sign up for that if you don't have it, but it makes this point. It says, one of the major barriers to mutual understanding and cooperation between peoples has been the language barrier. When men cannot understand one another, they can't freely exchange ideas, philosophies, concepts, or opinions. Misunderstandings often lead to conflict. We've probably all experienced that on some level in our life, a misunderstanding, and it turns into a conflict, and really the ideas just weren't exchanged correctly. But God's going to fix those problems. You know, even today in this world, even though education has improved a lot in terms of basic reading and writing, there are still plenty who are illiterate. They don't even know how to read or write. About 14% of the world population, according to some statistics. Language and expression has also been corrupted through the use of slang and colloquialisms. The language has really been corrupted. It's going to be changed, and it's going to really improve things. Notice this passage in Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9, here's where God reveals that he's going to do this. He says, "For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Eternal, to serve him with one consent." So what will people use this pure language for? Well, it's to serve God. They're really going to know how to pray to God. They're going to know how to serve God. That pure language is very important. It's vital. The correspondence course points out some really important history here when it comes to language. It says, man was once bound together by a common tongue, but he used his knowledge for evil, for an attempt to begin the very civilization that would have ended by destroying itself. You can read that history there in Genesis 11. When God divided the languages at the Tower of Babel, he was merely forestalling that eventual time of world chaos, which now threatens the annihilation of humanity. See, having one language today only accelerates evil. But when people have their minds changed and God begins to work with people and give them his spirit, that pure language at that time will be used to serve God. There'll be a different use. The quote continues and says, in the millennium, and that's, of course, after Christ returns, with Christ as a supreme, all-powerful ruler, this danger will be eliminated, the danger of using a language, one language, for evil. It says, and so Jesus Christ will usher in an era of total literacy and total education by giving the world one pure language. What an exciting time that's going to be. One pure language used for the most amazing things, to honor God. You know, I read a book a few years ago about a man that grew up around the time of World War II. He was in Germany, and he was able to get out of Germany as a boy. His parents got him out right before World War II exploded. And so he was able to get away from the atrocities that began there in Germany and in some of those areas. But he was able to get over to the United Kingdom, specifically over to England. And he learned English. And he said it made his mind come alive in a way that it never had been before. He learned Shakespeare, and he recited Shakespeare, and he learned some of those classics. But because the language of English had more ways to express ideas and thoughts, he said it just changed his thinking. Now, that's just going from one language of today to another one. What will it do to people's minds to have a pure language, to be able to express things clearly and purely? It's going to make a bigger change than we probably realize. It's really amazing what an understanding of a language can do to somebody and how they can express themselves and how they can understand ideas as well. For people to understand the truth of God, they're going to need to really certainly have their minds open. But imagine also a pure language, learning the truth of God in a pure language. It's going to be quite a thing. It's going to make major changes. That's coming. And it's not just some fantasy. It's here in Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. This is good news. These are things to think about because they're going to happen. Another very practical thing that Christ is going to do when he returns is he's going to give people liberty. He's going to give them liberty. You've probably heard that expression, liberty and justice, right? What does liberty mean? Well, liberty is its independence, freedom from captivity, confinement, or physical restraint. It's like if you were locked in a prison and somebody freed you, you would have liberty. There's going to be real liberty, and it's going to be liberty from sin. Freedom from sin. It's going to make such a change in people's lives. How many people are held captive and are confined by sin today? Many. Many people. And so people are going to be freed from that and freed from physical captivity as well. Notice Isaiah 14 and verse 3. It says, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Eternal shall give you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and from the hard bondage wherein you were made to serve. There's going to be freedom from all of these things. Think about how people are imprisoned by fear, by sorrow, by physical bondage in some cases. But mental bondage as well. There's a lot of ways that people are confined and restrained today. And they're going to be given liberty and true freedom. Think about health problems. How many people suffer from catastrophic health problems and are confined to a body that is breaking down? They're going to have freedom from those things. It's going to be an amazing time. What a wonderful time it's going to be. And again, this isn't just a nice platitude or something to, try to make ourselves feel better. This is going to happen because God promises it. That's why. Because God promises it. Notice Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. How is this liberty going to be accomplished? Notice Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Christ speaking, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You know, is that you today? Is that me? Are we heavy laden, just carrying around a lot of things and a lot of difficulties that we don't need to carry around? Well, he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to come unto Christ and to unload those heavy burdens, he says we have to learn from him. We have to learn about what Christ taught, what he teaches, and do it. That's how we get rid of those heavy burdens. The whole world will come to Christ and will learn after he returns and get rid of those heavy burdens and get rid of that bondage and have liberty. People are going to begin to obey God, and that's going to give them rest from sin. Rest from sin and bondage, and that has enslaved mankind ever since Adam and Eve went the wrong direction. Mankind will finally be freed from that bondage that comes about because of sin. You know, think about a drug addict. Do they have liberty? They could say, well, you know, we're free to go do our drugs. In some places now, because of new laws, people are free to go do drugs. But is that freedom? Well, it's enslavement. It's just enslavement to a drug. It's enslavement to a drug. True liberty comes from obeying God's laws. This is very practical. This isn't a fantasy. There's a very practical way to have liberty, and it's by obeying God's laws. The Correspondence Course says God will make life enjoyable, comfortable, and satisfying for people in the millennium as long as they continue to obey his laws, right? There is a way that we have to go, but it brings liberty. It says God's way of life truly is the way of liberty, the way of freedom from the drudgery and toil of the ways of this world. You know, I think we see that often in different generations where a generation's young and they're excited, you know, as they're growing up, and they think that there's a lot of excitement out there in the world and different things. And then as people grow older and sometimes get into some of the things in the world, they learn that it really was, well, what was it at the end? It was a lot of toil, a lot of drudgery, a lot of unhappiness, hopelessness. God's way, keeping God's law, that's what brings liberty. The quote says, but mankind today is not convinced that it is. They don't think that God's law brings liberty. They say, well, that's confining, though, because we have to do certain things. We want to be free to do whatever we want. Well, when people do whatever they want, they get into lusts of the flesh, and it causes destruction and all kinds of problems. You can think of the drug addict, right? It's a terrible, terrible curse. And they could say, well, I'm free to do a drug. Well, you know what happens to people when they do drugs. You've certainly seen pictures of it and so forth. Hopefully haven't experienced anything like that personally, but, you know, I think we've all seen plenty of evidence of that on the news and other places. People are really going to be free. Free. Finally, have liberty. God, it says, this is the Correspondence Course, God is now allowing man to learn by experience how difficult man's own ways really are. A lot of drudgery, a burden, having to carry around things, carry around guilt, carry around disease, carry around mental torment, sadness, hopelessness. That's not fun, to say the least. It's not a way of life that has freedom. It's enslavement, you know, divorces, things like that. It wrecks people's lives. We need true liberty, and that comes by obeying God's law, and everybody has to obey. And then we can have that liberty, and we're going to. People, again, are going to have that liberty. You know, another thing people are going to have, and this is flies in the face, I guess, of communism, but people are going to have their own land. God's going to make sure that people have their own land. They have a place to call home, a place to take care of. People need that. Notice Micah 4 and verse 4. This is a very well-known promise, I think, by many people. Micah 4 and verse 4, it says, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, And none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken it. See, people aren't going to be afraid. They're going to have their own land to take care of, something to work at, something to improve, something to enjoy. Here's a quote from Yale.edu. It says, based on national reports, it's estimated that no less than 150 million people, or about 2% of the world's population, are homeless today. They actually have no place to call home. However, it says about 1.6 billion, more than 20% of the world's population, lack adequate housing. So they have a place, I guess, they go to, but it's not adequate. And that doesn't even count people that say, you know, maybe live in a city or something, but they just really don't have any property to take care of or anything. They're just sort of in there. It's a situation that leads to a lot of problems. God's going to solve that. He's going to give people a home. He's going to give them a place to be. He's going to give them land. The Correspondence Course says people will own their own property in the millennium. They will be liberated from governments that deprive them of the righteous rewards of their own toil. You know, God's a fair God. If you put in some good work and God blesses it, he says, go ahead and eat the fruit of the land. You know, you worked. You did a good job. If you worked, you should enjoy the harvest, enjoy the fruit of your labors. But in many cases, that's not true today. People work, but they really don't get rewarded for it. Or if they do, it's not what it should be. And it causes all kinds of problems, and we see those in society. But they're going to be able to have their own land. God's going to give people that. It says, and God will not allow private ownership to be abused. It's not going to be abused. People aren't going to use the fact that they own some land to harm others. It's going to be a help. You know, they're going to take care of that land, and it'll be a blessing for everyone. But they're going to have something to work at, something to really put their effort into and see it grow and see it develop. We need that. We need that. God's going to liberate man from disease. Well, this should really strike home now, right? People are so concerned in some cases about COVID or other diseases. And they're just terrified of it. People, I mean, are people free when they're going around with masks on their faces and they can't leave their homes in some cases and they are terrified to meet with other people in their own families? I mean, is that freedom? And people could say, well, you know, it's a disease, so, you know, we have to do what we have to do. But what about getting rid of the disease? God's going to do that, getting rid of the cause of disease. This is practical. This is practical. Notice Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. For I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of your wounds, says the Eternal, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeks after. The Course says that education about true health and the miraculous healing of all sickness will mean radiant health for everyone. People are going to learn how to eat correctly. There will be proper food production. And then if somebody does get sick or injured, do you know that God promises to heal? If someone has faith and obedience, that's not taught today outside of God's church. But that's the truth. That's the truth. Man's running around today, scrambling, trying to make vaccines to get rid of illnesses, and who knows what the vaccines will do. God doesn't talk about vaccines. God talks about education, changing, food production, changing the way we live, what we eat, and then calling on God for healing. Notice Jeremiah 31 and verse 12. It says, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Eternal, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. You know, that's a great picture. You know what a dried up garden looks like. It looks pretty bad. But a watered garden that's full of life and vibrant and growing and robust, that looks great. And there's, of course, a lot of healthy food growing in that garden, if it's a food garden, a vegetable garden, I guess, or it's beautiful flowers. It's a wonderful thing. That's what God's going to make people's lives like, the way that they conduct themselves and their physical health and life. They're going to be as a watered garden. The correspondence course says the agricultural wealth of a nation is generally the greatest physical asset it can possess. Today, most of the earth is unproductive. Less than 12% of the land surface is actually tillable. There are many deserts, mountainous regions, and wildernesses. The exact opposite will be true in the utopia of tomorrow as God blesses the entire world. See, the entire world is going to be blessed. It's going to be blessed. People are going to have liberty, freedom. They're going to be able to communicate with one another. They're going to be able to be healthy. They're going to be able to work their land and make it produce and make it be productive. And of course, God will bless it. All of it based upon obedience to God's law and government. It's going to be a different world. And it's going to be a spectacular world. And that's the world that's coming. But as was also pointed out in the material today, mankind doesn't believe God yet. And doesn't know God in many cases. They have to get to know God. They have to learn to believe God. And that means they're going to have to go through some difficult times, which is just the result of their own way of living. Sins. Living contrary to God's laws brings curses, and mankind is going to reap those curses. That's not God's fault. That's man's fault. And then God's going to take a humble and corrected mankind and really begin to work with them and teach them how to live after his son, Jesus Christ, returns to this earth, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the good news that we need to look forward to. And as we pay attention, and we need to pay attention to what's happening prophetically today in the news, we also need to keep the big vision in mind, the big perspective that on the other side of some of these terrible problems that are also prophesied in God's word, there are these prophecies about the wonderful world to come. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live By Every Word. If you'd like to get some more information on this, please get the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Also, we have a free booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. That'll give you more details about the great news that is coming. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live By Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.